This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, Premier Scott Moe announced at the SARM convention the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Project is going ahead, and SARM President Ray Orb reacted positively to the news. Also, a bit of a programming note regarding the SARM convention. Earlier today, I spoke with Ray Orb about how the convention is going so far, or to this point, rather, now that today is the last day of the convention. And over the coming days, we'll hear plenty more about what happened at the SARM convention. Elsewhere for today, canola futures did well this week, but it was different for wheat futures. More on that with Adam Bacallo of PI Financial. And of course, the farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Coming up first is the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Project announcement. We'll hear what Scott Moe had to say right after the break.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. A major irrigation project in Saskatchewan that has been talked about for years is moving forward. During his address to delegates at the SARM convention, Premier Scott Moe announced Phase 1 of the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion is expected to begin next year. Work includes getting 90,000 acres ready for irrigation, but before construction starts, there will be engineering and design work alongside stakeholders and Indigenous rights holders over the next 12 to 14 months. Moe told members of SARM the last few years of drought made it abundantly clear that irrigation is key to improve crop production and the value of crops produced.
So for those of you in this room, with irrigation, it could potentially mean going from maybe a year like this last year of 7 or 8 bushels to the acre to 50 bushels of the acre each and every year. Or it could mean this, going from growing a crop that's about $600 an acre in revenues to growing a crop that might be $1,600 or $2,600 an acre in revenue. That means a lot, not just to you and your farm and your community and the increase in revenue that's available, but it means a lot to our province. It means literally thousands of jobs. It means value-added processing jobs. It means food production jobs, and it buffers us from some of the weather changes in certain areas that we've experienced.
The cost of the first phase of work is $1.15 billion, and it is to be shared between the province and any farmers willing to participate in the project. As Premier Moe said, they're not waiting for the federal government to help.
We were hopeful that we would have a federal partner in starting this project and seeing it through, a federal funding partner, as they have had some, you know, comments and discussion in the early days of the importance of this project to the Canadian economy, not just the Saskatchewan economy. It doesn't look like that's coming through, but we'll continue to ask, continue to work with our federal government so that they could be a partner in this space. But we need to start moving on it.
And what's the share producers will have to pay?
We haven't worked out all of the shares as of yet, but we'll be working through that, from here on. The important thing is to get a step forward and get the project started, and then as producers come online, we'll be able to have a formula ready that so that they can participate, and they will cost share in part of the project.
SARM President Ray Orb, who has followed this project since the beginning, is happy with the province moving ahead with the project, but when asked about how the cost sharing will work, Orb isn't sure, and also isn't sure if Ottawa is still committed to funding part of the expansion.
We are definitely a proponent, a strong proponent of the federal government putting in a share, and we assumed at the beginning of this project, if you remember, it was actually Minister Goodale at the time that brought forward that idea, And we thought that the federal government was going to be there. And we questioned as recently as last fall to the federal minister of agriculture and deputy minister of agriculture why they wouldn't want to contribute to their share as they would to any other infrastructure project across this country. They need to come to the table. And we're still on that same page because the cost of that, you know, we can't have it too costly, too unaffordable for producers.
Orb was also asked about the likelihood Ottawa would be willing to cooperate given the provincial and federal government butting heads over different issues.
I think the relationship would be better if the federal government would come to speak, perhaps to Saskatchewan. We invited federal speakers, ministers here. We had no reply from any of them. So if they're not willing to come to talk to us, and we mentioned this to Minister McCauley and Minister Bibeau before when she was Ag Minister, to come to Saskatchewan and talk to farmers about what the issues are, and we had no reply. So I think, you know, the ball is in the federal government court on this one for sure, and they need to come here and talk to the province about this.
Provincial Agriculture Minister David Merritt says in a news release over 58,000 acres of irrigation has been developed since 2020, the largest growth since the 1980s. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Coming up next is my conversation with Adam Piccalo about the May canola and May Minneapolis wheat contracts and how they did for this week. We'll just say canola did well and wheat not so much. We'll hear more right after this.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. Another good week for the May canola contract. Future commodity advisor with PI Financial, Adam Piccalo, says canola was up $17 a ton this week to approximately $626 a metric ton in early trading this morning.
So that's a nice kind of spike up from the lows just back on February 28th. Sixth, we were actually at about $580 a ton. So, you know, over that $45 increase that we've seen now just in about a month time frame now. And on the Minneapolis wheat front, a little bit different of a story. We're actually down approximately 10 cents a bushel on the week on the May Minneapolis contract at around this 652 a bushel area. It seems like we are kind of rolling over again on the charts, maybe potentially looking to go test kind of those lows of that kind of 642 area. One thing that I am kind of watching is that May soybeans, it seems that have triggered some buy stock above the resistance. So basically all that means is it looks like the kind of the soybean charts are potentially kind of going lower here with really heavy hedge kind of related selling and technical indicators are kind of pointing to that kind of market going a little bit lower. The market was due for a correction, I'd say, after a nearly 90 cent rally off the lows February 29th. So I'm kind of, again, watching that on the bean and bean oil side to see how that could affect maybe kind of canola going forward.
And this question would be more for the canola side. How much of a factor was Stats Canada's seeding intentions survey had to do with any sort of movement?
You know what? It wasn't a big factor right now. Kind of everything did come in kind of around that trade expectations. You know, one thing I would say is that the export numbers that they came in at, I think, are quite a bit higher than, you know, it might actually happen this year. So one thing I'm watching is that how canola really hasn't been really, China hasn't been buying our canola. And if that kind of trend stays, which Stats can doesn't. But again, if it does, we could see still lower canola prices than we are right now. So that's another reason why I'm now on this rally we've seen here in the last month, kind of discussing with clients some new crop hedging strategies using options and things like that.
What are your thoughts on how the Canadian dollar is done and how that affects both? I know it's hovered around 74 cents US at one point this week.
Exactly. It kind of is kind of staying around that 74 cent area. Right now, oil actually looks a little bit more attractive on the charts, kind of on the May WTI contract above $80 again. So I think that's kind of helping out the Canadian dollar a little bit. But right now on the Canadian dollar, I would say it's really range bound as well too. So kind of that 73 kind of area to that 76 area. So a 3 cent difference, but it really hasn't gotten too much above or kind of below those levels.
All right. And finally, in terms of both contracts, what are you looking for in terms of, you know, kind of the high and the low and where that resistance is?
Well, maybe kind of just finish up on the wheat front. I'll leave that with you. And it really, it just seems like the bear camp remains in clear control of wheat right now. In other words, it kind of seems like the markets could kind of keep going lower on that front. Prices have really been unable to build any momentum, especially this week due to weak global values and Chinese cancellations. The near-term forecast for the Southern Plains is dry, but rain chances show up in the forecast of that kind of 6 to 10 day time frame. So really there's no cold threat on the horizon for U.S. wheat as well. So I would say, you know, that's until, you know, bullish news comes out on the wheat front, the global bearish fundamentals will just maybe kind of keep pushing that market lower. So something else that I've been chatting about with clients.
That's Adam Bacallo with PI Financial based in Winnipeg. Up next on Sask Ag Today is Ag Review with Doug Faulkner, as he'll have the latest ag headlines, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. Forecast looking pretty good for today and into this weekend. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and MyGrain Exchange, ready to market your 2023 crop. Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
4-H Canada says it has had to make the difficult decision to lay off 7 staff members following a major cut to the funding it receives from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. The move comes after 4-H Canada was informed midway through the fiscal 2023-24 year that its funding under the Federal Agri-Competitiveness Program was approved, but at a significantly lower level than requested and past funding. The timing of the news, when the fiscal budget was already in place, created challenges for the organization. A number of factors related to AAFC impacted the amount of funding 4-H Canada received through the department this year, including changes to government priorities, which attracted increased interest in the program from new applicants and which, in turn, resulted in fewer dollars being available to legacy organizations such as 4-H Canada. Manitoba Agriculture Minister Ron Costitian has released a statement on Product of USA labeling regulations. He says the long-standing positive trade relationship between Canada and the United States has been beneficial to both countries, supports greater food security for Manitobans, and has benefited Manitoba producers and consumers. Costitian believes the recent release of the final Product of USA voluntary labeling regulations for meat, poultry, and egg products will affect this relationship, increasing barriers between Canada and the United States and impacting the meat and livestock sector. He says the Manitoba government is concerned that this final rule discounts the long-standing and positive trade relationship that benefits Manitoba producers and consumers. Manitoba will review the final rule and its impacts on Manitoba consumers, producers, and processors. World production of wheat, corn, and soybeans are all forecast to rise in the 2024-25 crop year. That's according to the first estimates from the International Grains Council for the upcoming growing season, released yesterday. The IGC expects world wheat production to hit 798.8 million metric tons in 2024-25, which compares with 789.5 million tons in the current marketing year. Of that total, the IGC forecasts Canadian wheat production at 38.3 million metric tons, which compares with the IGC's call for 2023-24 Canadian wheat production of 36.1 million tons. World wheat ending stocks are forecast to tighten to 262.2 million metric tons from an expected 267.5 million tons in 2023-24. World corn production is forecast at 1.233 billion metric tons, which compares with 1.227 billion expected in 2023-24. The IGC forecast world soybean production in 2024-25 at 412.8 million metric tons, which compares with 390.5 million for the current crop year. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falconer.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, the forecast is looking pretty good. A high of 7 degrees for today, but over the course of the weekend, the temperatures are going to dip down a little.
Yeah, we're in sort of a wobbly pattern. We're in an up wobble. We'll wobble back down over the weekend and then wobble back up over the course of the beginning of next week, right before we go back down. So we really won't be in this for a good week or so with no consistency whatsoever. But we'll enjoy those warm days as they come up every few, right around 7 this afternoon. As you mentioned, the wind's gusting up to 65 kilometers per hour, though, this afternoon. We've seen the gusts fairly breezy this morning. They will peak, though, during the late afternoon, early evening tonight. Staying breezy tonight, 20 to 35, gusts to 50 as we drop off to minus 5. And tomorrow, cloud and sunshine, not as warm, but also not quite as windy. The wind continues to diminish through the day. The high tomorrow is near 2. Cooler air is working in. It is a little cooler, but it's a little drier. We're partly cloudy for Saturday night. There is a non-zero chance of a flurry. I say non-zero because it's certainly not significant, but non-zero because there may be one or two flurries mixing in the air for Saturday evening, right around sunset, the best chance for that. Anything that falls, nothing to worry about. Minus 2 on Sunday, mostly a sunny sky. We're into that cooler air. But as I mentioned, we are in a wobble, and that's the low point on Sunday. On Monday, we spike right back up to at least 7 degrees under a mostly sunny sky. That chance, once again, as we hit these different positions in this pattern, each time a ridge comes in, it brings a little weak front with it. Each time a cool down comes in, it brings a little weak front. Most of these have no moisture, but tomorrow nights could, as could Monday nights. Very slight chance of a sprinkle or a flurry Monday evening. Tuesday, partly sunny, a little better chance, but still very low for a couple of rain or snow showers later day. The high is 3. We drop down, and we'll spend a few days below normal into the second half of next week.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 0 degrees. The lows, minus 11. Sun rose in Regina at 7:10 this morning, and the sun will set at around 7:05 this evening. Taking a look around the province, all the temperatures are positive. Assiniboia, 8 degrees. Estevan, 7. Moosomin and Weyburn, 5. Saskatoon, Yorkton, and Melville, 4. Swift Current, 6 degrees. And Weyburn is at 5 as well. Hot spot in the province is in Maple Creek once again. They've been the hot spot in the province, I would think, for pretty much the majority of this week. Today they're at 9.9 degrees. Cold spot, Stony Rapids, kind of the same thing there for this week. Today they're at minus 4.1. In Regina, mostly cloudy sky, west wind at 34 to 51 kilometers an hour, humidity at 79%, temperature 5 degrees or 40 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure at 101.4 and falling. In Moose Jaw, also mostly cloudy, west wind at 42 to 59 kilometers an hour, and the temperature 7 degrees. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy, west wind at 34 to 51, temperature 5 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. And Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. There is still time to register for next week's Producer Malt Academy in Saskatoon, the March 20th and 21st sessions next Wednesday evening and all day Thursday. We'll give farmers an opportunity to learn more about the malting and brewing processes from industry experts. In addition, there is no charge for barley producers who pay the Sask Barley Levy. With more on the Producer Malt Academy, this is Mitchell Japp, Sask Barley's Research and Extension Manager.
It's to connect growers with various stages of the value chain throughout the malt industry. And it really gives a clear insight as to why some of the particulars of malt barley selection are the way they are.
Are you going to have companies there to talk to producers, or what will be happening in that regard?
So it's a combination. We work very closely with the Canadian Malting Barley Technical Center, and they really help deliver this. It's an adaptation of 3-day and full week events that they have for Malt Academy at their Winnipeg location. And so they're bringing it out, and we're tailoring it to producers. So it's a condensed course.
What are some of the things that they're looking for, basically?
Some of the things that the malt company is looking for, they're looking for plump. They're looking for varietal purity. Germination energy is really big. Which variety is being grown? So a lot of different nuances. Last year, we had issues with some pre-harvest germination or chit. And so all those things are really critical for the malting process. So we've got between Sask Barley, CMBTC, and some of the malt industry that'll be there talking about all these different things and why they're so impactful on the malting process.
Okay, and will there be an opportunity to test out some of the malt in the product?
Absolutely, yeah. So we start on the Wednesday evening, and we'll have an interactive session looking at the malt and going into some networking, and then on to the next day, the Thursday, the 21st, we'll get into the details.
What can you tell us about some of the speakers? Not necessarily names, but what kind of things they're going to be talking about?
We'll have the interactive sessions in the evening, looking at the details of different malt types and how those different malts are used for different beers. Then we'll have an overview of the barley market, looking into barley selection from the malter perspective, and then into the details of malt processing, how to evaluate germination energy and why it's important. Then we lead into more of the production side of the event, looking at barley breeding, barley agronomy, new varieties, and how they all fit into the big picture.
And one of the neat things about this is if you have paid the levy to Sask Barley, that there's no cost for this.
Yeah, it's complimentary for all Sask Barley producers.
So how do you register?
You go to saskbarley.com and click on the events page. There's a registration there. So we do need to know who's coming, so register in advance. But yeah, for complimentary for growers and for any producers who aren't registered as barley growers or other industry professionals, there's a small cost to attend.
Mitchell Japp is Sask Barley's Research and Extension Manager. We'll take another break here, but Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The Vice President of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture was part of a Canadian delegation attending the World Trade Organization Ministerial Conference in Abu Dhabi. The conference was February 29th to March 2nd, and Todd Lewis recalls his experience there.
For a country like Canada, of course, that we export so much of our agriculture, it's really important that we have a rules-based system, and so there's lots of work done on the agriculture side as well.
Did you see any delegates from the United Kingdom there? And if so, did you have any conversations with them? I know Canada and the UK, they've had their little thing going over beef and other things during bilateral trade talks.
Yeah, we didn't. We didn't meet with any UK members, but at the same time, that's, you know, it goes to show how important rule-based trade is. And of course, Canada is a member of the Cairns Group with countries like Australia, Brazil, other countries, the United States are all part of that group as well. And so we, you know, that's one group within the overall umbrella of WTO. And certainly our trade issues with the UK right now just speak to how important it is to have groups like the WTO that can try and put some rules-based policies in place so that, you know, we need to have free and open trade as much as possible. And you know, troubles like we've had with the UK speaks to why we need to do it.
While you were there, I guess I'm just kind of wondering what the perception is of Canada when it comes to trade and given the current geopolitical state that the world is in.
Well, I think when, you know, Canada, I think it's seen as an honest broker at the trade talks, you know, lots of experience there. They've, you know, Canada has a huge relationship with the United States, of course, probably an enviable relationship compared to a lot of other countries. But at the same time, Canada is only a mid-sized nation, but yeah, you know, on the all the major players in the room, Canada's included. So it's you know, I think Canada has a position that's well respected at the WTO and really internationally at the trade. I think our negotiators do a good job of putting Canada's interests forward, and you know, we're not a huge superpower, but at the same time, we have a very interesting niche in the market, and some products, of course, you know, especially agriculture products, are world leaders. So it's an interesting position that Canada has, but I think they're generally pretty well respected at the table.
That's Todd Lewis, Vice President of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. Coming up next on the program is the market update. You're listening to SaskAg Today on 620 CKRM.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were down in early trading today. Durum is down $11.03 at $387.37. Canola is up $3.50 to $588.12. And number one red spring wheat is down $2.46 at $296.50. The rest were unchanged. Feed barley, $225.58, chickpeas, $992.08, flax, $606.04, lentils, $721.50, oats, $276.32, yellow peas, $437.98, feed wheat, $212.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 4¼ cents at $6.51 a bushel. Up next is the livestock report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock 842-4574. Now here are the latest quotes.
Good afternoon, this is Travis Platt with Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. This past week we had our all-breed yearling and calf pre-sorted sale with close to 1,000 heads shown up, and here's how it went. 23 red and black steers weighing 591 that brought 430.25. Set of 8 weight steers at 335, that's $2,700. And a set of 624 weight steers at 383.50. And then light 4-weighter steers are starting to bring over $5 onto the heifers. 36 black heifers weighing 528 that brought 405.75. 28 black heifers at 609 that brought 369. 29 tan steers 511 that brought 406.50. And 18 black heifers at 760 that brought 320. This past Thursday, we had our regular cow and bull sale with 400 heads showing up. Them good cows were $1.65 to $1.75, with sales up to $1.82. Them medium cows were $1.40 to $1.65. Them canter cows were $1 to $1.20. Them good bulls were $1.65 to $1.80, with sales up to $1.87.50. Them good young heiferettes were $2.10 to $2.35, with sales up to $2.45. Don't forget, March 28th, we'll be having a bread sale, and there are some bread heifers in there that you don't want to miss out on. If you have any marketing needs or looking to book in, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt reporting from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
The latest pork prices are at $199.52 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
The Saskatchewan Research Council takes the helm in micro-small modular reactor development in the province. As the sole license operator, SRC aims to streamline safety practices, operations, and licensing for micro-reactors, reducing risks and costs. Minister Jeremy Harrison envisions economic growth and job creation through micro-reactor deployment, backed by an $80 million government funding injection. On the markets, the TSX is up 51 points at 21,881. Dow is down 228 points to 38,677. Oil is down 17 cents at $80.57 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 73.80 cents US. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can also find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. That's going to do it for Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.